I love what I choose to do. How about that? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. I love what I choose to do. Now, we sometimes wonder, what is it that we love? What is it that we would choose to do? What would we like to have as something important and wonderful in our life? What is it that we really want to do? What is it that, if we had our choice of what we'd do? Sylvie was telling a joke the other day, and she was saying these people went to heaven, and they were each given a wish. And their wish, number one, was stupid, because it was based upon volume, you might say. And then the second person's wish was even more stupid because it was just more volume. And the third person's wish was even more stupid because it was still more volume. But that wasn't the point of the joke, and that's not what I'm telling at the moment. The point is, I love what I choose to do. Now, what would you, if you were these three men and they went to heaven and they talked to God, which is a silly program in itself, but what would you do if you were them and you chose, had to have a choice, a chance to choose what it was that you would like to do? I love what I choose to do. Now, what would you choose to do? What sort of a choice would go through your mind? Would you make the wish that, I wish I was the happiest guy in the world? Would you make the wish, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body? Not bad, yeah, mm-hmm. Which is true. Or would you make the wish that I was the richest guy in the universe, you know? Richer than Bill Gates, you know? And what would you say? What would you say? Now, I'm not asking you to answer me. I'm just asking you to think. If I love what I choose to do, what do you choose to do? Now, all four of you are women. So, do you choose to be women? And I say no. Because you are the opposite of what women are. At least what you think of a woman as being. A woman is gentle, is sensitive, is caring, is interested in nice clothing, is interested in a nice home, interested in a nice family, interested in a nice husband and nice children, and interested in participation in the community. You know, and none of these things interest you. And you call yourself women. Well, maybe there's another aspect to women that we haven't included in our definition, which can be true. Okay, now, I love what I choose to do. Now, what do you choose to do? Do you choose to be a human being? Well, if you choose to be a human being, then you should have more pain. You should have more suffering. You should have more unhappiness. You should have more problems in your life. That's what a human being is. Verstehe? That's what a human being is. A human being is somebody subject to the vagaries of life, the changeableness of life, the instability of life where you have no control over it. I mean, that's what a human being is. And that's the definition of a human being by human beings. Now, hey, would you like to be a divine being?
Divine, yes.
Would you like to be a divine being?
Yes.
Now, that sounds cool, doesn't it? Now, what is a divine being? Well, everything good. Like little girls, you know, sugar and spice and everything nice. Okay. What is a divine being? A divine being is one that knows its spiritual cause and lives in harmony with that spiritual cause. Now, they may be on what is called planet Earth. They may be next to you as you live your human life and they live their divine life. But a divine being is not subject to anything that you are subject to. You, as a human being, are subject to all that stuff, and the divine being right next to you does not experience any of it. The divine being can be in a house that burns down and totally untouched. He just keeps reading a newspaper or whatever, you know. The divine being is untouched, untouched. And you cannot conceive what really untouched means. You know, it means being untouched by any human aspect. And the divine being certainly doesn't judge. Now, you say, oh, what a terrible misfortune for humanity. What a terrible misfortune for the people who live in the villages under the volcano that is spewing out the ash and spewing out all the lava, and it's running down their hills and it's inundating their houses and killing the people. Oh, how tragic. Hey, no, 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 no. A divine being wouldn't see it that way. A divine being would just see it's part of the change that goes on in the human world. Now, tell me why a divine being would not be experiencing any of these things. And there's one word that sort of means it, but yes, it's definitely one word. What would the thing be that why a divine being wouldn't experience these things?
It is one. Oneness.
That's close. Well, what is it? The divine being lives in the now. There is no other time but the instantaneous now. And you cannot compare things to the instantaneous now because there is no movement in the now. There is no activity in the now. Each now, if you will, that the now exists is an is. You look into absolute and you see all things as an is. Now you say, oh boy, that's way out. You know, that's heavy duty stuff. And no, it really isn't. When you know how to play the concert piano, and you play exquisitely, you are an exquisite pianist. You're living in the now of being an exquisite pianist. Now, when you were practicing as a child and learning, you were living in the now then, of playing it as you played it then. Now, you could not conceive as a child how you would act as an adult, as you would act as a mature pianist, as a concert pianist. You could not conceive it. And as a concert pianist, you cannot conceive how you were as a youngster. You understand? Because the moment you put your thought back as you were as a youngster, you're not in the period of now as you are in the now. You see? Because your now is now as a youngster. And so you're seeing everything in that relationship. And you don't see the allness of it. You just see the uniqueness of it. Now, if you can see the allness of it, do you see any activity? Do you see any movement? Do you see any... No, no. When you see the allness, it again is a fulfilled essence. Now, see, we have this statement here. I love what I choose to do. What is it that you love what you choose to do? What is the allness of what you love that you choose to do? What is the allness? You see, now, when we are so illumined that we can know what the allness is of what we choose to do, we'll realize that we're doing it. But because we are not focusing on our allness, and we're only focusing on our uniqueness as we are here doing whatever we're doing, we are not having that great experience. The great experience is living in the allness. Our concentration and our concern too often is that we want to live in the relative. We want to live aware of my mother, my father, my sister, my brothers, my aunts, my uncles, my pets, you know. Now, how would you feel if you couldn't pet your pet? It's not that you can't pet your pet. It's that your pet doesn't need petting and you don't need to pet it, but you pet it because it's a joy. Not it's a joy, but it's an is. You know, you got to get rid of all those words. And all those words are hard words to get rid of. Because joy and peace and harmony and life and peace is only relative to something that's going on in the universe. It doesn't matter whether it's peace or war, but peace is peace and war is war. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, you cannot think of the two in the same sentence, in the same paragraph, because each is unique. Each is an is. Now, what do you love that you choose to do? Or what do you choose to do that you love? Now, have any of you ever thought about that, really? I mean, we think, oh, what do I like to do? But what is it that you really choose to do that you love? And you're doing it. Now, are you being a monk? Are you being a minister? Are you being a teacher? Are you being a housekeeper? Are you being a computer person? What are you being? What is it you choose to be? Now, I would like to suggest that we forget all that. We forget all those outer things and rather take something of this nature. I choose to be happy. Now, how about that? I choose to live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. You have no idea what that means, but it sounds good. I choose to live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, I choose to see the world as a joyous, fabulous experience with everything in divine order. How about that? I choose to see everything in my universe in divine order. Now, that's a wow thing, isn't it? How do we choose to see everything in our universe in divine order? Man, if we could even see a few things in divine order, we would be very happy. But how do you see everything? Well, when you are untouched, not possessed, not judgmental, when you're one-pointed in what you're doing, you see everything in divine order. And you start out with yourself. You start out with yourself, the only being of any consequence in your world. Now, we have been taught that our parents are important, that our brothers and sisters are important, that our neighbors are important. We're taught that God is important. We're taught all sorts of things like that. But who is your brother? Who's your brother? I. Who's your sister?
I.
Who's your mom and dad?
I.
Who's God?
I.
See how easy that came? She didn't even know she was going to get that. But you see, this is the point. Everything is you. Everything in the world that you create, your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father, God, whatever it is, that's you. That's you. And who is this you? Do you love being you? Well, if you like it, that's great. And if you can improve on it, that's even interesting too. So, love whatever it is that you choose to do. Because I love what I choose to do merely means that everything in your life is fantastic. And everything in your life is exactly what you want it to be. Now, I'm going to give a series of talks on illumination, on introspection. And it'll be a series of six talks on introspection. And I will give you the outline for them at noon today. And on these six talks, if you can put to work the direction the talks are going, the concepts of the talks, and what it sort of requests of you, without any hesitation, you will, at the end of the six lessons, you will be able to move right into your introspection very beautifully. And I will tell you right now that one of the primary aspects of moving into introspection is, and you might write the word down if you want to, but you don't have to, imagination. If you have imagination, introspection is going to be a real simple thing. People who have good imaginations have exquisite introspection. And many people, and you know some of them right here, but many people do not want to play the game. They do not want to imagine. They do not want to play the game. They do not want to imagine, and therefore, they don't get introspection. And what is introspection? Anyone want to tell me?
Imagination.
Yes, introspection is imagination.
And listening within.
Listening within. But let's take it a step further. Anywhere? Imagination, listening within. And what's the next step?
Acting upon it.
That's a good step too, but hearing it. Listening within and hearing it. You see, we can listen within all we want, but if we don't hear it. And then, like Ingeborg says too, acting upon it. But of course, once you hear it, you're living it and you're acting it. And so you then are acting upon it. But without that, you go nowhere. And you go nowhere fast. Because you just go from one illusion to another illusion to another illusion, thinking each is real. Whereas if you listen within, you would hear another story. You would hear another story that says, you are great, fabulous, magnificent. Yo.
Right here.
Yeah. So that's coming. And I mention it because anyone who would like to may tune into it. But remember, there's going to be six of them. And there'll be lots of fun, but they'll be very irritating because we'll say, why haven't we done that before? Why didn't we listen? The challenge that each has, the big challenge that each has, is a three-worded thing. Play the game. And we have all fought playing the game because we felt it was a game. Well, this is a game, but it sure has nice conclusions to it. So, tune in again, and we will carry this out for all of you who choose to listen to it. And if you choose to practice it, wow. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.